Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
It's good to be back at Compass. How many people here have met me before? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands. If you've never met me before, raise your hand. And this is all new to you. Oh, there's a lot of you. Good. Well, I'm glad to be back. I am, like you said, I'm from America. I'm from New Jersey. It's the center of the universe, if you didn't know that. And I'm right outside of Philadelphia. And I'm glad to be back to do schools this week, along with one of the guys that works with us, William Green. You'll get to meet him next week. And I do consider this home. And I felt like I came home this week, and I'll share my heart in a little bit, share a little bit about what we're going to do in schools. I want to take an opportunity to thank Nat and Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil, this year, will be coming over to America to speak at America's largest Christian music festival. He is going to be one of the key speakers there this year, along with me. And so he'll be speaking in front of 100,000 plus the 35 countries that will be broadcast all across the planet. So Phil will be there. Last year he came and he helped me. He did some advertisement. They needed to advertise for some of the clothing, and because of his shirt size, they decided to do it this way. And so they used his image, which of course brought up the question about his steroid use. And then I found this online. If you're interested, you can just look it up online, christiansteroids.au. So everybody clap for Pastor Phil. You know, it's good. You know, none of those pictures were loaded before he started talking. And then when you were doing your fellowshipping, I was like, he ain't talking about me that way. So I went in the back and took care of that. Everybody say, figure it out. Look at your neighbor and say, figure it out. So I'm excited to be here today. And, you know, listen, my whole goal in communicating is to be transparent for where I am at in life. And I think the best thing we can do for each other is just be real with one another. And so if you came here today and you're used to going to church or having religion and you're used to coming in and trying to be what that you think they want you to be, this probably won't be the sermon for you. My goal is I don't need to be the best. I just need to do my best. And my goal is to be transparent and genuine at every opportunity that I can be with people, because along with what some people might perceive as successes is also sometimes we have to go through battles. And I've learned that everyone that I meet is either coming out of a battle, going into the battle, or in the midst of a battle. Do y'all hear what I'm talking about? Everybody say, get to it. Everybody say, get to it. Psalm 23 says this. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I want to talk to you a little bit today about the experiences that we have and about how God wants to use us in the midst of our distractions, in the midst of things that happen to us and things that are even sometimes in front of us. In spite of the battle and in spite of the valley, in spite of the circumstances, I do believe that God is still faithful. And I'm focused on his faithfulness, not my situation. I believe that when we allow situations to distract us, that's exactly what they are. They become distraction. It takes your eyes off of where you're headed. It takes your eyes off what you're about and puts you up where you're at. You see, everybody needs a vision in life. A vision sees where you're headed to. That's what vision is. Sight sees what you're going through. Do y'all hear me? And sometimes it's easy to get distracted by what's going on, what's happening over to your left, what's happening in your relationships, what's happening in your friendships, what's happening in your neighborhood, what's happening in your church. It's easy to allow those things to happen. And I'll tell you one thing I've learned is the enemy loves to distract people. He loves to send the wrong information. He loves to send the wrong directions. He loves to send the wrong people. And he loves to be able to distract you for what your greater purpose is. I will tell you that if you're here today and you might have the wrong places, the wrong people, and the wrong things going on in your life, if you compare it to what God told you and it doesn't line up, I'm here to tell you you need to get lined back up again. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says this. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we heard, so we do not drift away. Let me read it one more time. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we heard, so we do not drift away. Father, I ask that you would just bless the reading of your word today. I ask you just bless our time together. I pray for every person in here that might be in a valley, that might be in a circumstance. Lord God, I hope that we can remember how faithful you are. And you, the God that has secured our eternity, can handle Sunday morning. So Father, right now, Father, we ask our eternal God to open our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I said, and everybody said, Now, I'm from America, so you could talk back to me when I speak. It don't scare me. You're welcome to do that. We friends. We're family. So what I'm used to speaking to teenagers. I speak in schools, and you're going to hear a little bit about that. But just to help you out, I need everybody to close your eyes. I'll count to three. And when I hit three, everybody in the room is going to be 15. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? For those of you with arthritis, it's going to feel good. You all hear what I'm saying? You ready? One, two, three. Open your eyes. There you go. That's good. That's good. Paul, close your eyes a little longer. It's a little bit longer, Paul. Give me another couple minutes. There you go. Keep going. Hey, there ain't a time machine big enough, bro. You're good. All right. Open your eyes. Good, good, good. I want to thank all the technology people in the back, sound people, video people, all the people working throughout today for all your hard work behind the scenes. I couldn't do what I do if you weren't there and doing what you've done. And so here's this. Winston Churchill said this. He said, "History will be kind to me because I intend to write it." Yeah. You see, it's a great thing in life when you decide to become a person of purpose. You see, when you become a person of purpose, it's amazing how living an intentional life can change circumstances. Right now, distractions might be in front of you or to the left. The verse I read about the drift. How many people remember the first time they ever went to the beach? Remember the first time and you went out into the water, and the water's got a current in it. I never forget when I would go to the beach. I've got two things I focus on when I go out into the ocean: the lifeguard stand and the ice cream man. Y'all hear what I'm saying? My two favorite things on the beach. And I focus because the first time I went, I remember I'm swimming out in the water and I'm just doing my thing. You know, I'm enjoying the waves. I'm not a surfer like Pastor Phil. You know, I've never surfed. My body's kind of like a homemade surfboard. You know, I'm just doing my thing in the ocean. But then when I looked up, I realized that somewhere along the line, very slowly, I just drifted off the mark. I didn't really even see it happening. I didn't feel it happen. I didn't know it was happening. Until I looked up, I didn't realize that I had lost my destination. I had lost my starting point and forgot what my ending point was. Y'all hear what I'm saying, right? When you come out of the water, you want your towel. When you look up and the light, I remember looking up and I remember saying, "How did I get all the way down here?" And what happened was I got caught up in the drift. And in life, sometimes circumstances will allow you to get caught up in the drift. Today, I want to talk to you about that. You see, what I've learned in life is the ways we get caught up in the drift several times is this. I've learned that our emotions sometimes can catch us up in the drift. I'm from New Jersey, and New Jersey is the most densely populated state in America. So there's more people per square kilometer than anywhere else. In America, more people per square. So that means our traffic is really bad. So when you're born in New Jersey, you're born with something called road rage. It's kind of like roid rage, Phil, but a little bit different. And I'll let that sink in, okay? I'll let you get that. And the steroids make him very angry, you know? So follow me here. So here's the deal. I remember I was at church, and you know there's always that one excessively happy person at church. In my church growing up, it was this lady, her name was Miss Dolly. And she would always walk up and you thought that was funny, that I make fun of your uncle, right? Isn't that good? You're more than welcome to bring it up all week long. It's fine. So Miss Dolly used to come, when I was a kid, I used to go to church by myself. And I remember walking in the front door and she would always make me feel really welcome. And she would walk up and she would bake cookies. How many people know fat kids love cookies, you know? So I liked her for the cookies, but I liked her for the way she made me feel welcome. There's something special about your church because whenever I come here, I always feel so welcome. You don't always find that at places. People don't always make you feel welcome. But I know that here, you feel welcome. I walk in, I feel welcome. And I remember Miss Dolly, she would walk up and she would hug me. She'd give me cookies. She'd be baking things. And she was like, she's my homegirl. And she was so nice. But she was an older lady. She was like in her late 70s, early 80s. And I learned something one day. People aren't always what they look like on the outside. Miss Dolly was the sweetest thing. She was always like, "Bless the Lord, Preston. I pray for you every day. I'm so excited to see you." And then one day, everybody say one day. You know, everybody's got their breaking point, right? One day I was sitting at a light, a four-way light. And all of a sudden I looked across and this guy ran. My light turned green. And this guy ran the red light and the car across was starting to come forward. And when it started to come forward, the person had to slam on their brakes because they almost got hit by the person that ran the light. And we got a traffic and a road rage problem in New Jersey. So all of a sudden, all I see from a distance is the driver of the car put up both of her hands. And then all of a sudden, a finger came up. And it wasn't this one. Do you hear what I'm saying? This person gave the double barrel. You know, you mad when you give the double barrel, right? And I looked across the way and I was like, oh, snap. It's Miss Dolly. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody is absent from anger. We all get there. We all have circumstances. We can all get caught up in the drift. Everybody say, even Miss Dolly. Even Miss Dolly got sucked up into it. And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. I want you to realize today that attitude has everything to do with life. I truly believe that attitude, you know, I believe life is like 20% of what happens to you and 80% of how you respond to it. Our attitude has a lot to do with it. And you can look at it throughout Scripture. You can be set up. You can have everything that can be afforded somebody in life, but if you don't learn to get control of your attitude, boy, we can have some problems. On December 26th this year, I had something happen in my life that just, I didn't know if my life was going to be the same. I didn't know if I'd ever be here again. I didn't know what my life was going to look like. And all I can tell you is this, is that I learned to be able to change my attitude and how I look at life. And realize that God has a purpose and plan. No matter what you go through, or what you see, or what stories you've been told, or what lie you might have heard, or what someone else has to say, when it comes down to it, at the end of the line, you have to determine what type of attitude and how you're going to respond to life. Because nothing will hit harder than life. Do you all hear me? Nothing will hit harder than a broken heart. Nothing will hit harder than a loss of something or a loss of somebody. Nothing will hit harder than hearing a phone call that wasn't so good or hearing from a friend that was disappointed in you or a friend you would be disappointed in. And there are all these different things. And as I was looking through Scripture and just trying to get my head around what I was going to share today about having a Christly attitude, living in the fruits of the Spirit, I thought about Judas. And you think about Judas was one of Jesus's closest friends. You think he had 12 friends. He had 12 homeboys. Like, Phil's like my closest friend on this planet. That's why I put nice pictures of him up and say good things about him, because that's what we do for our friends, right? And that's just too funny. Anyway, if you don't want to laugh at my jokes, that's fine, but I'm going to laugh at them, and that's fine, because I did that for me. So step down, all right? So hear me. Judas, you know, Jesus had these friends, and Judas had the best friend that anybody could ever have in Jesus. He had the wisest friend that anybody could ever have. He had the best leader and the best pastor that anybody on the planet could ever have. And you know what? He still failed because it didn't have anything to do with what was given to him. It was how he responded to it. And I want to tell you this morning, the problems you have in life have nothing to do with the leadership or the church that you go to. It has to do with your attitude. And if your attitude isn't transformed and your attitude isn't changed, then you will always be the same. You probably heard your pastor use this word, repentance. Repentance is not when you cry. Repentance is when you change. And learning how to change when you experience God, it has everything to do with us as growth. When God allows things to come into our life, it begins to shape us and mold us. And it's not always the soft things. Sometimes it's the tough things. Sometimes tough things happen. Sometimes things come in. I've learned that attitude is the difference between ordeal and adventure. Every day I make a choice whether if I'm going to make this an ordeal or I'm going to make it an adventure. Instead of saying this is a problem that's about to overwhelm me, I'm going to say, you know what, it's a wave. It's bigger than I thought, but you know what? I'm still going to try to ride it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying this morning? You should get happy about that because God's giving you the power and the strength, and he's called you to do the things that he's given you a vision for. I just want to ask you this morning, are you going to have sight or are you going to have vision? Helen Keller said this. She was a blind author and a poet and an artist. And she said this. She said, one of the most disappointing things that I've ever heard of in life is people that can physically see, but yet they have no vision. The physical ability to be able to see, but yet they have no vision for their life. You see, I truly believe that each and every one of us have the opportunity to take the pen of our life and begin to write history for ourselves. And God, along with you, him and his Holy Spirit, allows you to create the masterpiece of your life along with his voice. See, today I want to talk to you about that, but what gets us sidetracked? Well, the first thing that gets us sidetracked is this, is fear. I don't know about you, but have you ever just been scared? Scared, and you can't tell nobody. You can't tell your friends. You can't tell your spouse. And it gets you to a point. And I've learned something about fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's a choice that something or someone else is more important. And I found that the solution for fear is learning how to take courage. Learning how to find courage in every situation. I like heroes like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. You know, I love them. And I think growing up, we all like watching that stuff on TV. It doesn't matter because the Wonder Woman movie's coming out. Don't matter if you're a boy or girl. But, you know, you watch the different movies that are out there. I think inside of every one of us, we all wish we could do some of that stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, there are days we just wish we could fly because we want to be able to fly, right? Or because we're late. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Right? There are other days where, you know, somebody makes you mad and you just wish you could use your heat vision on them. You know what I'm saying? But we all like the idea that there's a component of something supernatural that just might be possible. But I'm here to tell you it's not through your physical body, it's through your spiritual. I'm here to tell you that there's something supernatural about you. And if you're willing to, I've learned something that if you're willing to give God your impossible, he's willing to give you his incredible. And this morning, I want to encourage you for that. This week, we're going to be in public schools, and I'll get some of you guys caught up. We do programs in schools, William and I and all the speakers at the Youth Alliance. We do Choices programs. We do anti-bullying programs. We go in the public schools, and we talk to students about the fact that, like every day in my country, 160,000 students stay home from school because they're afraid of the way that someone might treat them when they get there. Every day in my country, 5,000 kids consider giving up on the gift of life because of somebody else's words or actions. And it's not just physical. A lot of times we think of bullying or we think of abuse. We think it as physical. You know, Phil, he's a bit of a bully. He likes wearing his tight little jackets and he likes pushing me around a little bit. And when he does that, that's physical bullying when he does that. But that's not nearly as bad as his words. His words. It's not just physical bullying. It's also verbal bullying. You know, every day we choose to speak life or to speak death. I could pump you up with my words or I could tear you down with my words. We do it in our relationships. You know, being right is so overrated, isn't it? And I learned that growing up that, you know, the physical abuse that I experienced in school as somebody, I was unique to my school. I would say when I was probably about 12 years old. I weighed the same as I weigh now, but I was 4 feet shorter, so due to geography, you know. And the kids at school, they were rough on me because of my size. And they were also rough on me for this reason. I was the only kid in my school, in my entire school, that was special needs. In life, it's very difficult when you go to a school and all the teachers and all the students only talk about what you can't do rather than what you can do. When the narrative of your life is wouldn't, couldn't, and shouldn't. And we live in a generation where, you know what, this is the first generations right now of students, right now, your kids, the kids I'm going to speak to this year when I'm here on this tour, it's the first generation of students that's ever existed that doesn't need an adult in their life to get information. When I grew up and I needed to get information, I would have to go to the encyclopedia. You don't know what that is, right? Yeah. There are books, and they go in this place called the library, yeah, and there was no Google, there was none of that, if you had a cell phone when I was a kid, it was in one of those bags that you carried, you remember, or then if you were really cool when I was in college, you had a pager, you know, and so I remember that, and I remember going to school, and every day at 11 o'clock at my school, the bell would ring, and I would walk about 30 to 40 feet to the front of my school to this large, like, camper. And the side of it said Gloucester County Special Services. It was for kids with special needs. And I was the only student in my school with special needs. So as I would walk out there, I would hear, you know, the kids use words like dumb, stupid, fat, the word I hated the most, retard. And hearing people constantly define you by what you can't be can become overwhelming. See, whatever voice you give the most volume to will have your most attention. And you got to make a choice every day when you wake up what deserves your emotional and mental and spiritual energy. And this morning, I want to let you know, even though I can't speak about Jesus, it doesn't mean I can't be Jesus to people when I go into schools this week. This is not something that I'm doing alone. If it wasn't for your partnership and for Compass Community Care and for your church, heck, I wouldn't be able to do this. And it's not just physically the way students push each other around. It's verbally. It's not just verbally. It's also socially. If you don't know what social bullying is, it's when you get your friends together and you get them to like who you like and then to not like who you don't like. We ostracize people with our relationships. We do that as adults, too. We bully our siblings around. Inside of our family, we pit people against one another. And we want people to like who we like and then not like who we don't like. And we didn't learn that when we became adults. We learned that as kids. And then the last thing, the last way we push each other around, not just physically and verbally and socially, we also, this didn't, like I said, we didn't have this when I was a kid. We do it online. What you post, what you tweet, what you text, once you hit send, it's out there and it's never coming back. You know, it's before I left to come here, a girl that I went to college with, I'll never forget, she messaged me about 3 months ago, and her daughter was put into a program because when I left, she weighed 87 pounds. Because of the images and the words that people used at school, and because of the images that I believe that she saw in on social media and in movies and the commercials that we watch, she just couldn't be thin enough. And she knows what I do, and she just messaged me. I hadn't heard from her in 20 years, and she says, could you please pray for my little girl? She's 87 pounds, and they're putting a feeding tube in her. And I just can't get her to believe that she's beautiful just the way she is. You see, that's the message we want to give in schools. We want to tell people they're not born winners, they're not born losers, they're born choosers. We want them to know that it doesn't matter how life starts, it's how you finish that counts. But I want to ask you a question on this Sunday morning. See, during this week, I'm here for the students, and I'm going to talk to them about life, and I'm going to talk to them about the way we treat each other, because I believe that everybody deserves to wake up, every student in the entire planet deserves to wake up and go to school and feel safe, not just physically, but emotionally. You know why? So they can learn, so they can grow, so they can have vision, so they can get educated, and that education will provide knowledge, and that knowledge will catapult them into their future. And then we come here and on Sunday mornings, and we're contributing back, and we're living life, and we're doing life, looking out for each other's best interest. You see, that's why we do what we do. You see, this morning, I want to ask you the question, basically the same question I'm going to ask students. Have you gotten caught up in the drift? Everybody walks through a valley. Everybody goes through tough times. Everybody experiences fear. Everybody realizes that they need to be able to take hold of fear and realize that courage is the way through fear. And I've learned, and I also say this to every student I talk to, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You show me who you're hanging around with, I'll show you where you're going to be 5, 10, and 15 years from now. Because, you know, friends get you to do things you would never do by yourself. You know, and not only do we get pulled in by other people's lore or they're baiting into it. We get pulled into it because we compare. Comparison is something else that it has to do with our attitude. Life's always unfair when you compare because you're always looking at what someone else has and what you don't have. And I wanted to let you know something. If you're here this morning and you have a relationship with God and you're committed and you're growing, you might not be where you want to be at, but you're headed in that direction. I'm here to tell you, you've got everything that you need. I'm here to tell you, you've already found your destination. And I said it in the opening prayer. The God that has secured your eternity can handle your Sunday morning. Can I get some help up in here? Because that's good stuff right there. If you're going to tweet something today, you should tweet that. Do you hear me? Don't let my president tweet it, but you tweet it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'll let that go. I'll keep going. All right. I've learned that there's one person in the world that you can control, and that's you. When I was growing up, and I'm going to bring this to a close, but when I grew up, I was fortunate enough that when I was a young kid, a guy who was an elder at a church invited me to come there for a kids program. Even though my family didn't come, I found a family inside of a place like this. I found people that were happy to see me. In a place like this, it was the first time that a guy walked up to me and he said he was glad to see me. I remember it was the first time that a man ever hugged me and said, he said this word, he goes, I'm so glad you're here, son. In a place like this, I found hope. And so don't discount your role. Just be you. Don't discount the church's role. And so here's what I found in a place like this. I remember coming here and everything was good, but I learned to do something in school. I mean, learned to do something at church. And I learned this from doing this in school. And school taught. I learned it in school because I learned it in life. I learned to wear a mask. A mask, you know, I say this all the time to students. A mask is the person you think everybody else wants you to be. You see, as a person with disabilities, when I would walk out to that RV and hear all those words, and then at lunchtime having to sit by myself, and then I remember turning 13 years old and having a birthday party, and I never forget, I invited everybody and made the little cards, and I remember 1 o'clock came and went, and I remember waiting for people to show up, and no one ever showed up. And those circumstances in life began to write my story. You see, it's real simple. We get to determine if life's going to write our book or we get to write life's book. And we determine who has the pen. After I got done going to church on Sundays, I remember I used to go home. And when I would come to church, I would wear my mask. You know, I'd come here and I'd want to be what you wanted me to be, or I'd want to act the way I think you want me to act. Because I wanted the hugs and I wanted the appreciation, I wanted the acceptance. But what I didn't want you to know is that at home, my home was a broken home. In my home, and you know what began that journey for me that day? I began to do the dance with anger. Because I allowed fear to creep in. I allowed comparison to creep in. And then I began to allow anger to creep in. And when anger creeps in, bitterness creeps in. And when that bitterness creeps in, it severs relationship. And when you sever relationship, you become isolated. And when you become isolated, you become lonely. And when you become lonely, you have nowhere to go. You think nobody could help you. I used to think that for me to forgive the people that hurt me, for me to forgive my parents, for me to forgive my mom for her behavior, or for me to forgive my dad for not noticing her behavior, I used to think that they were going to have to apologize to me. And then one day I realized something, that forgiveness doesn't require an apology. It's a choice inside my heart to allow the situation that hurt me on Saturday not to hurt me again on Sunday. Let me explain. A lot of times I used to think this. I used to think that forgiveness and trust were the same issue. See, forgiveness is something that you give to them for you. Trust is something that they've got to earn back because of what they did. And I lumped them all together, and I thought I couldn't forgive because I couldn't trust. And I wind up missing out on relationships, even at a, maybe not at the level that they were, but definitely I missed out on them altogether. And I couldn't grow through things. As I was deciding on what to speak today about getting caught up in the drift, I want you to know what my current was made of. My current was made of anger. It was made of comparison. It was made of loneliness. It was made of rejection. It says in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks on a door of our heart. If you've ever seen the picture of Jesus, like the white Jesus knocking on that like really shiny red door, my heart didn't look like that. My heart was made up of shame and guilt and loneliness, sadness and rejection. My heart was built up of other people's words and unspoken and spoken expectations. Until one day I decided to take control back. And I made a choice. Watch this. I'll be back in a second. I'm playing a song here. The words of this song are, "You're amazing just the way you are." And you have to determine, every one of us, who's going to have the pen for your masterpiece. This week, I believe that we're going to have the opportunity to speak life to students. I believe that this week, William and I, and because of the hard work of everybody here, and the hard work of your staff and Compass Community Care, that some people that are caught up in the current, you know, things will be able to change. See, but I've learned that there's a couple things in life that can guarantee us failing. Number one is to blame all your problems on other people all the time, instead of accepting that the fact that you have power in every choice, and the choices you make will determine the life that you're going to live. Number two is to complain about everything. Listen, you can always find what's wrong. It's a choice to find what's right. It's a choice where to put my energy, both physically and mentally, emotionally and spiritually. And the last thing, if you want to guarantee to fail, forget to be grateful. Man, I'm grateful. I've got a good life. I've got great friends. I got three beautiful children. One's a little crazy, but they're good. And this morning, I get to stand here, and I've learned something. I've learned when you've blown it, you've got to learn to own it. I've learned in my life that for us to be able to move forward and not get caught up in the current of fear and in comparison and anger and frustration, I have to ask myself some questions. Have I asked other people to forgive me when I've wronged them? I've had to ask myself, have I hurt people? Before I talk about me, let me talk about you. Have I done something to offend you? And if I have, Phil, please forgive me. Number two, you have to ask, who else in this planet, who else on this journey of life has offended you? It says real clear in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's not just about wondering if you need to apologize to somebody else. It's wondering if somebody, you know, you might be waiting like I did. I waited probably for 10, 15 years for some people that hurt me really bad to come and apologize to me. You know what? They're not waking up today thinking about me. And if I don't forgive them, I'm giving them the power for them to still have control. It's not just about giving forgiveness. It's about allowing forgiveness to take place inside of you. And last but not least, you know what the person you got to forgive the most is? Yourself. And so I want to ask you, do you want to do life or do you want life to do you? Do you want to be controlled by anger and frustration and comparison and fear? Or do you want to be controlled by destiny? God's got a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. And he's got something great. He's got something awesome for you. And the dream that you once dreamed a long time ago is still the dream that you can have today. And nobody could ever take that from you. It's your choice to give up on it. I'll never forget, I don't know if Pastor Phil does this, but my youth pastor growing up, he used to like make us raise our hands sometimes when we prayed, and then he would like pray preach. I hope you don't do that. Where everybody's hands would be raised like towards the front, and you go to say a prayer, but then the spirit gets on you. And then you start going for like 1 minute and 2 minutes. You ever have Pastor Phil do that, and your arm gets really heavy, and you move from like one arm, then you got the one arm holding this arm up. And then you're like leaning into your arm, keeping it up. And you know what I'm talking about, right? And your arm gets heavy. And then it begins to hurt. And you're thinking about one word. Amen. You know, that's the only word you're thinking about. You know why? Because we weren't created to walk around holding something up all the time. And when you allow your unforgiveness and your bitterness and your pain and other people's words to infiltrate your life, you're holding something you're not supposed to be holding. And so my message for you this morning is, what do you need to put down? When you look up today, have you got caught up in the drift from where you once started? It's real simple. I've told this story here before a long time ago. When I was in youth group, my youth pastor took me on a whitewater rafting trip, and I love going on the trips with my youth group. It was my family, and I was tight. We were tight. My youth leaders and I, we were like this. I never forget. We went to go rafting, and my youth leader, she's a volunteer youth leader. Her name was Penny. She asked me to be in the boat with her, and so I got in the front, and she got in the back. And at the time, I was like maybe 180 kilos, I guess it would be. You know, it was probably 325 pounds. And so the boat was like this, going down the river, you know. And I remember going down the river, and we're just going down, and we're plowing, you know what I'm saying? If there was gold in the river, we were going to find it, you know. And that was funny. I'm going to use that again. I never forget, we hit a rock. And when we hit this rock, we went up in the air. And when we went up in the air, Penny came down over top of me and landed in the middle of this boulder. And she screamed. I saw three of my children being born, all three of them. And I heard something the day they were born that I never want to hear. That was a scream. And before that point, I'd never heard a yell like that except for this day. I never forget Penny hit the rock, and she like rolled off of it, and the boat's going down, and I see her. And all of a sudden, something inside of me, I don't know what it was, but like my inner Baywatch came upon me, you know. In the essence of Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming out with a new movie on the 25th of June. Did you like that? And I started swimming towards her. And she was hurting. You know that someone's hurting and crying when you can see them crying in the middle of a river. And I scooped my arm underneath of her, and I began swimming towards the shore, hard as I could. And it was amazing because the water, the current was so strong, it was just pulling us. We were caught up in the drift. And I remember going along, and her husband was running along. He saw what happened. She's crying. She's like in some type of spasm. I'm trying to get to the shore, and this guy starts yelling my name. He goes, Preston. And I'm swimming. I'm like, can't this guy see I'm trying to save somebody? This is my first time saving somebody. I'd never done it before. And I'm swimming, and he yells my name again. He goes, Preston. And I'm like, what does he want? And the water's rushing, and we're moving fast. And finally, I said, what? And he said my name one more time. He said, Preston. And then he said two words that changed everything. He goes, Preston, stand up. The water was only 4 feet deep. But you know, we were moving so fast, I couldn't tell. And the current was moving so fast. You know how you go into water, so you just don't put your feet down. And you're probably saying, why am I telling that story at the end of the sermon? Here's why. The drift's not as strong as you think it is. The current's not as strong as you think it is. The water's not as deep as you think it is. Maybe it's just time for you to stand up. Not who you think you should be, but who God actually created you to be. Because like the words of the song, you're amazing just the way God created you. I don't need to be like you. You don't need to be like me. You know what? I've learned that heroes don't wear capes. They wear compassion. And when you can put compassion and empathy on your life, like we're going to do this week in schools, when we go out there and we talk to kids about life and how everybody deserves to be loved and cared for just the way they are. When we go into schools this week and we give words of life and words of hope, can I just tell you something? I'm not going alone. You're going with me. But I'm not talking about them right now. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about those of you that are separated from your children because of some type of unforgiveness and bitterness. I'm talking about you because your brother and sister and you don't get along anymore because you've allowed separation to come in. I'm talking about people here who are so mad about yesterday that they can't see today and forget about tomorrow. I'm here to let you know that you've gotten caught up in the drift. And all you need to do with life is to stand back up again. Get back up on your feet again. You can control one person on this planet, and that's you. What are you going to do with that choice? Would you bow your heads with me today? Katie, would you help me out? I just want to ask you a question this morning. You know, Colossians 3 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have any grievance against somebody, forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you. I've learned this. A heart that is filled with rejection speaks resentful words. But a heart filled with acceptance speaks kind words. A heart full of condemnation speaks judgmental words. But a heart filled with love speaks compassionate words. A heart filled with self-righteousness speaks critical words. But a heart full of hope speaks encouraging word. So today I just want to ask you something. What are you speaking to yourself? What's God trying to get you to do and get you to be? Today, I'm not concerned about, don't be concerned with why I'm here and what we're doing. Don't be concerned where we're headed as a group. I'm concerned with you as an individual. Have you gotten swept up with the dance with anger and bitterness and frustration? Have you gotten swept up with trying to compare yourself to what other people have and what other people might have or what you have compared to them? Have you gotten swept up in fear? And have you been hiding? I want to let you know that I can't change the way my life started, but how it ends, that's my choice. I can't change where I was born, what I look like, how I was born, but how I walk this thing out, I get to choose that, and so do you. So if you're here today, I want to let you know something. It was a Friday night in a room about this size where somebody told me about Jesus. Said that he knocked on the door of my heart, and I thought my heart was too ugly. But Jesus wanted to run into my heart, filled with all those things. He wanted to forgive me for the sins that I was born into, and he wanted to let me know that he made me beautiful just the way I was. John 15:16 says that we did not choose him, he chose us. And so I want you to know, before you walked in this room, he already chose you. You're already a son and a daughter. You just got to choose him back. And the Bible's real clear. He knocks on the door of your heart. All you've got to do is open it. So if you're here this morning and you've never given Jesus a chance, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you've never given Jesus a chance, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. I just want you to raise your hand real quick and put it back down if you've never given Jesus a chance. Anybody in this room? You've never given God a place in your life. You never realized that he wants to create a masterpiece out of your life and out of your family. Anybody here? Okay, number two. If you're here today and just between you and me, nobody else is here. You're getting caught up in the drift. I've talked about some of these things and you just looked up and you realized I am way off from where I walked in. I'm here to tell you all you've got to do is stand up. Because somebody stronger than you wants to stand with you. The Bible says that he will go with you wherever you go. In fact, the Bible says that God goes before you. And that if he is for you, then who can be against you? The Bible's real clear. It says this. It says that he is persuaded that we are able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. See, what I've learned about Scripture and learned about the Word of God is that his promises are yes and amen. And he's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the God that has secured all that wants to stand with you. So if you're here today and you're dancing with frustration or anger, you're dancing with unforgiveness and bitterness, don't try to overcome good with evil. Overcome evil with good. And choose back the God of all eternity. If you're here today and you've just got to ask for healing, you've got to forgive somebody who hurt you, you've got to let somebody forgive you for you hurting them, or you just need to forgive yourself, I'm going to count to three. Raise your hand, put it up and put it down. One, two, three, if that's you. I see those hands. That's it. Put it back down. That's good. Do me a favor. Let's stand up together right now. I've got a goal in life for you. If you've been hurt big, it's time to love bigger. It's our goal at the Youth Alliance in America to talk less, to do more, and to love better. And I can't control the way you live, but I can control the way I live. And I hope you let somebody love you. I hope you let somebody from Compass Church love you back today. If you raised your hand today, I'm going to pray over you and pray with you. But make sure you see Pastor Phil or Mick or Nat or one of the leaders here or Eldon or somebody that's here and let them know what you're going through. Don't do life alone and become intentional. Because not only can you stand, you don't have to stand alone. I had to learn that. Isolation is one of the worst places to be. And you don't have to live that way. Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for where it says in Hebrews, Lord God, that the drift can catch us up, to keep watchful eye for where we began. So, Father, I pray for every person that's here. I pray for every person that's felt like giving up, Lord God, for every person that's wrongly believed things or had a misconception of life, Lord God. I pray that today, Lord God, that you would allow us to see the starting point, Lord God, of our salvation, which is you. Father, may we look back and where you began to come into our lives in the way that you see us, Father, not just the way we see ourselves. May we get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice. May we be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving to one another, just as you were forgiving by sending your Son. So, Father, I pray for every place, for every family that has separation and brokenness, that, Father, you'd bring it back together. For every heart that's been shattered, Lord God, may you bring the pieces back together with your love and through your anointing that breaks the bondage of every yoke. I pray for every parent that's struggling with their child and every child that's struggling with life, Lord God, that we may speak words of encouragement, Lord, not disappointed in what they've done, but excited about where they're going. Father, may we let the world know what we're for, not just what we're against. And may we be a shining light up on a hill, Lord God, that cannot be extinguished. Father, I thank you for this morning. We glorify you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Can we please give Preston a hand this morning? Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.